Bless the Lord. Well, we are glad that you are all with us here this morning in the house of the Lord. We welcome you to Elevation Worship Center and pray that you have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit as we have worshiped and given glory and honor to the Lord as we have sang and praised His name. We're glad that you're with us. We miss others that are not able to be with us this morning, but we are thankful that you are here. And if you would like to share with me what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Acts. And I have always said this is the only book in the Word that's still being written. It is the Acts of the Apostles. We are His disciples, we are His children, and we are still acting in His name. Amen. So, Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1, and this is no doubt a familiar portion of Scripture, but I want to talk this morning about activating the power of God. Activating the power of God. The Scripture said in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, beginning with verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, 'Look on us.' And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the gate Beautiful, at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I would ask that you bow your heads with me and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and we are so thankful this morning that we have opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed in our worship. I ask this morning now, Lord, as we come to the reading of the Word and the ministry of the Word, of my own ability, I am ineffective, I am incapable, and I look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. Give me divine unction. Give me liberty in the house of God. Put your thoughts in my mind and your words in my mouth. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would allow me to speak as an instrument of God. I pray, Father God, that you would give me unction to function. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow me to minister to everyone on every level. And I pray that everything that is said and everything that is done will be done to glorify Jesus and to edify the body of Christ. And we will forever give you the praise and the thanks, and we ask it in His mighty name. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Activating the power of God. This morning in the theater of your mind, I want you to imagine that you are there and you are present as the scene in our text begins to unfold. I want you to place yourself in this passage of Scripture. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible says here in our text that it was the 9th hour of the day. Understand that the Jewish day started at 6 a.m. The 3rd hour would be 9 o'clock, the noon hour would be 6 o'clock, and the 9th hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible tells us that, and history tells us that the Jews would go to prayer 3 times a day. They would go at the 9th hour, the noon hour, and at the 3 o'clock hour. They taught that Abraham established the first, and that Isaac established the second, and that Jacob established the third. But they went 3 times a day into the temple. If they were near the temple, they would migrate to the temple and they would enter in to the house of the Lord to offer their prayers. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Bible tells us that the streets would have been crowded as the people were gathering for prayer at 3 in the afternoon. The streets would have been filled with men, young and old alike, making their way unto the temple of the Lord. In the midst of that crowd, there are 2 of the Lord's disciples. In the midst of that crowd that is making their way into the temple of the Lord and passing by this beautiful gate, there are 2 disciples of Jesus Christ. And let me just remind you that they had recently been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had just recently received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Peter and John are among the crowd as they make their way to the house of God. On the way to the temple, they would pass by the Gate Beautiful. It is called the Gate Beautiful because it was made, as I understand it, of polished brass. It was 31 feet high and 62 feet long, and it was made of polished brass, inlaid with precious stones. It must have been a brilliant sight standing there glistening in the sunlight with the polished brass and the inlaid stones. No wonder they called it Gate Beautiful. But the gate was also there for a functional purpose. The gate served as a main entrance into the temple courts on the eastern side of the tabernacle, or on the eastern side of the tent. On a daily basis, 3 times a day, there would have been thousands of people going and coming. They would be going to prayer and coming from prayer. 3 times a day. Imagine the traffic that must have proceeded by this gate on a daily basis. And there at this same gate, the text tells us of another man. This man was lame from his mother's womb. The Bible said that there was a man that was carried daily to the gate so that he could beg alms. He was a crippled man from his mother's womb. And for this man, the gate was as far as he could go, because he was not allowed inside the temple to join them in prayer. The Jewish leaders were so blinded by their spiritual pride and blinded by their misinterpreting of the law that in their eyes he was blemished and he was unfit and he was nothing more than a second-class citizen in their eyes. And for years they had passed him by. In their spiritual arrogance, and to ease their conscience, they would give him their loose change as he sat there day after day and week after week and month after month, and months begin to turn into years, and he sat there year after year. But this day, his life was about to be radically changed by the power of God. On this day, his life was about to be radically changed. And this day, amen, he was about to anticipate a change in his life that would change him forever. Imagine it, if you will. He's sitting there at the gate, and I can almost see it in my mind this morning. He is sitting there at the gate, and the crowd is making its way into the temple. Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. And there sat this man. The Bible tells us that this man sat there day in and day out. And remember now that Peter and John had been recently baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They are coming off of their upper room experience, and they were filled with the power and the presence and the anointing of God. They were there in the upper room when suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and cloven tongues of fire set down upon them, and they were baptized in the power and the promise of God. They are filled with the joy of the Lord. They are filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they make their way to the temple. And there at this gate, the man, the Bible says, looks upon them. And scripture said that Peter fastened his eyes upon them. Peter looked upon him, and their eyes made contact. No doubt when Peter saw him, his heart was moved with compassion. No doubt when Peter saw him, his heart was moved by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says to him, as they make eye contact, he says, "Look on us. Look on us." And the Bible said that the man looked upon them expecting to receive something from them. Expecting to receive something from him. And the Bible said that Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And took him by the right hand. And when he took him by the right hand, he lifted him up. And the power and the anointing of God was released. Amen. The power of God was activated, and strength came in to his body, and for the first time in his life, he jumped to his feet and he began to leap and praise and magnify the Lord. I wonder what kind of a scene that had caused there that day. For years, people had been passing by that gate and tossing the man their change and giving him nothing more than a smile and the loose change in their pocket. But today, they're looking at a live walking miracle, headed to the temple, leaping and shouting and praising God. I don't know about you this morning, but I love to think about, I love to read about, I love to hear about stories in the Word of God that talk about the power of a living God. Anytime that I think of this man, and when I read this scripture, I am often reminded of a gentleman in Tulare, California. His name was Kenneth Shoemaker. I was preaching revival in that area, and as I would later learn, Kenneth Shoemaker had had 7 heart attacks. He had suffered 7 different heart attacks. He was a minister of the gospel, and he was a roofer by trade. he was there. And he told me a year later, he told me, he said, there were times that I could make it from my bedroom to the living room and be totally exhausted for the rest of the day. He said, there were times that I would lay down at night and the weight of a sheet laying upon my chest was more than I could take. It was more than I could bear. It seemed like it was crushing me. I can't even imagine that. But Brother Shoemaker came to the revival that we were preaching there in Tulare, California. And after I had preached that night, I asked for those that wanted to have prayer. And he came forward. And I remember it as if it was yesterday in my mind. Amen. I walked up to him. And when I laid my hands on him, I've never seen it before. And I have never seen it since. But when I laid my hand on him, the Spirit of God literally picked him up and put him back about 6 or 8 feet, right flat of his back, right in the middle of the floor, and he just began to vibrate under the power and the presence of God. And this man, amen, he jumped up and shouted all over that church house and praising God. And whenever I read this text, I can't help but think of how God healed Kenneth Shoemaker. I went back a year later and he was totally healed. He went back to preaching the gospel and roofing houses for a living. I said, I love to hear about the power and the anointing of God that literally can make a change in our lives. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I just want you to know something this morning. Amen. That I desire to see that kind of manifestation of God's Spirit in the house of the Lord again. Often you hear me tell of testimonies of how I have seen God do wonderful things down through the years. And I have witnessed them firsthand. Seeing God in a mighty and marvelous way heal cancers and watch tumors disappear and seen the miraculous. I love to recount those stories. I love to rehearse those things in my mind because it reminds me that with God, all things are possible. The question that the Holy Spirit began to ask me as I studied for this service this morning, as I read through the text, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart, and the question that he posed to me was, what activated the power of God? What was it that on this day, out of all of the days, out of all of the weeks, out of all of the months, out of all of the years, why today? What was it that activated God's power? What was it that caused God's power to flow? What was it on this particular day that caused the power of God to make this lame man whole? Maybe you are here this morning and you are emotionally lame. Maybe you are emotionally crippled. Maybe you are here this morning and you are spiritually crippled. Maybe you are here this morning and you are physically in need of a touch from the hand of God. Well, I got some good news for you today. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, what he was, he is, and what he did, he will still do if we can only activate his power in our life. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you here this morning have a need in your life? How many of you here this morning have a need in your spirit, have a need in your body? I got some good news for you. The same Jesus that made this man whole is with us here today. The same Jesus that ministered and met that need that day, he is here with us now. What was it? What caused his power to be released? The title of the message, Activating the Power of God, that switch that you see on that video behind me, on that slide. Think of it, that switch, when it's on the off position, there's nothing moving. But when the switch is flipped, it's when it's in the off position, it's not that the power is not there. It's there. But you got to flip the switch. You got to activate it. You got to get the current flowing. Well, I came to tell you this morning, God's hand is not limited to what he can do in our life. Amen. All we have to do is learn how to activate the switch. And when we activate the switch, the power and the presence of God will be there to meet us. So how do we activate the power of God? The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart four different things that I want to endeavor to bring to you this morning. Consider with me four keys that are in our text that cause the power of God to be activated. First, the first key is the power of God is only activated when God is present. Hello? The power of God is only activated when God is present. That sounds like a very simple and obvious answer, doesn't it? Sounds like a very simple and obvious answer. But what I'm saying this morning is that God's power and God's flow, amen, can only be found when he is present. I ask, as the Holy Spirit began to prompt me in these four things, I ask, why could not he get healed? He sat there all of his life. Why could he not be healed? Here this man sat in the temple, at the temple of the Most High God, and for 40 years, how do you know it was 40 years, preacher? Acts chapter 4 and verse 22 says that he was above 40 years of age. He was carried there from his mother's womb. He had been a crippled individual. Had to have been at least 40 years. He sat there at the temple of the house of God and never found healing. He never found the answer. He was never touched by the power of God. How could that be? I submit to you this morning, it is because the presence of God was not at the temple. Hello? I submit to you this morning, amen, not only was the presence of God not at the temple, but the presence of God hadn't been in the temple for a very long time. All they had was a form of godliness. All they had was a religious ritual. All they had was a bunch of rules and regulations that kept people out. He wasn't even allowed in the temple. The temple was supposed to be the very house of God. The temple was supposed to be the dwelling place of the Most High. The temple was supposed to be the temple and the house of the God that created the universe by speaking, "Let there be," and there was. Then how could this man remain at the temple of that God and never find the power of God? I submit to you this morning that he wasn't there. He wasn't in that temple. He wasn't in that house.
And for all of their religious zeal and all of their religious rituals and all of their religious efforts, all they had was a form of godliness. Amen. And denying the power thereof. Can I just tell you this morning the reason that some of us are not feeling the power and the presence of God evident in our life is because we have a form and the presence of God is really not there. Hello? I had a couple of people go, oh. Amen. What I'm telling you is you can't have the power of God if you're not willing to have the presence of God. And you can't just have a similitude and a form of godliness. Brother, you got to be dedicated, committed, and laid at his feet. And when you have the presence of God, you can access the power of God. I can tell you for a certainty that when Peter and James or Peter and John walked up to that man, that the power of God, the presence of God was not in that tabernacle, wasn't in that temple. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? Said it is finished, and the Bible said that the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. Amen. And that meant that everybody had access. Amen. It meant that the power, the presence of God was no longer in the Holy of Holies. He now dwelt in a different vessel. He now dwelt in a different temple. Amen. We are the temple of the Most High God. Amen. The man couldn't even make it to the temple, but God filled the disciples and brought the temple to him. Hallelujah. Amen. God brought the temple to him, and God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And when they showed up, the presence of the Lord was there with them. And the first thing that we need to activate God's power is we need the presence of the Lord. What I'm saying this morning is if we are going to see the power of God activated in our life, then we must secure the presence of Jesus. Let that settle into your spirit. If we are going to experience or activate the power and the flow of God's power in our life, then we must have not a form of godliness, not a godly ritual, not a religious ritual, but we gotta have the genuine presence of Jesus Christ in our life. Number two. Secondly, the power of God is only activated when there is an atmosphere of expectation. The power of God is only activated when there is a spirit of expectation. When Peter walked up to the man, I can almost see this transaction taking place. Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John are just bubbling and running over. They come walking up to this man. He looks at them, and Peter says, "Look on us." And the Bible said that the man looked on them expecting to receive something from them. Now, it's true, he was probably just expecting silver and gold. He was probably just expecting loose change. But what I want you to understand this morning is that he was expecting something. He was expecting something. Peter says, "Look on us." And the man looked upon them, and he was anticipating getting his need met. He was anticipating getting his need met. Amen. How many of you know that God does everything? The Bible says in Ephesians 3 and 20 that he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. But let me just share something with you this morning. If we are ever going to receive anything from God, then we must have an expectation. We must have an expectation of receiving. Too often we come to church, and in our mind and in our attitude, it's just another Sunday. And I'm just going to go, we're going to worship, we're going to hear the preacher holler, and then we're going to go home. Hello? Too often we sing and we worship and we praise and we do it without an expectation of being touched by the presence of God. Let me just tell you, when you really, really worship, you're going to be touched by the presence of God because he inhabits the praise of his people. Hello? It has always amazed me. I've sat in church sometimes, and while people are worshiping, I can see others that are just absolutely being raptured in the presence of the Lord, and other folk just kind of standing around going, I don't get it. Hello? Well, let me just share something with you this morning, that when you get in the presence of the Lord and there is a heart of true worship, there's going to be a release of the anointing of God. There's going to be a release of his presence. Too often we pray without expecting anything to change. We hope, but there's no real expectation in our heart. Let me just tell you something this morning. If we come to the Lord without any kind of expectation in our spirit or in our heart, amen, surprise, you ain't gonna get nothing. Hello? Let me just share with you. You remember the Bible talks about a little woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was nuts. She'd spent everything that she had running to this doctor and running to that doctor, and nobody could help her. Nobody could help her. But this is what the Bible said. When she heard of Jesus, she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. How many of you know she got exactly what she was anticipating getting? She pressed her way through the crowd, reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and her expectation and her faith made her whole. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Did you come expecting to receive something from the Lord this morning? Did you come anticipating that you would leave changed by the power and the presence of God? I got news for you. You get in his presence, and brother, he'll change you. Amen. He'll give you a new outlook and a joy and a peace. How many of you came expecting to receive from him? If you came with that kind of expectation in your heart, amen, I got good news for you, and I declare unto you this morning by the word and the authority of God's word that you will not leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Come expecting, and when we have a spirit of expectation, when we have a spirit of expectation, God's power is released. This is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 in verse number 22. He said, have faith in God. In the Greek, it literally means have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. It's translated in our Bible, have faith in God. And what he was really saying was have the faith of God. Have God kind of faith. Have a God-like faith. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You believe that? Expect it to happen. That's what he said in the very next verse. Verse 24, he said, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and if you doubt not in your heart, it'll obey you. And then he said in the very next verse, therefore, be in light of that, therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you'll receive them and you'll have them. Let me ask you something. When do you have it? When you get it? No. When you pray. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Expect it. You have it when you pray. May not be manifested in this life just yet, but expect it to happen. You got it when you prayed. Believe him for it, and you will have it. Expectancy allows God to be God. Expectancy activates God's power to do the extraordinary in your life. Amen. If we desire the presence and the power of God, then we must have an expectation. We must have an expectation. The third thing the Holy Spirit placed upon my heart is the power of God is activated when we recognize kingdom authority. Hello? The power of God is activated when we recognize kingdom authority. Peter and John were walking in the authority that Jesus gave them. I think one of the most striking things considering our text is there is no record. There is no record of Peter or John praying for him. They didn't pray for him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm sure they were prayed up. But when they met the man, they didn't pray for him. They just said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They were just exercising their kingdom authority. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Listen what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So understand that Jesus was delivered all power in heaven and in earth. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he says, upon this revelation, upon this rock, upon the fact of who I am and what I have received, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said, and I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, what I'm saying is he received power and glory in heaven and in earth, and he gave us his authority. And the power of God flows when we recognize the kind of authority that we have in Christ's name. Amen. The devil would like to buffalo you and make you think that you are weak and that you are not strong. The devil would love to make you think that he'll run right over you. But I got news for you this morning. If Christ is on the inside, amen, stand up in your authority and run over the enemy. Hallelujah. Years ago, my oldest grandson was being tormented at night My son came to me and said, Quinn just wakes up in the middle of the night. I don't remember how old he was, but he was just a little guy, three. Just a little guy. He wake up in the middle of the night, literally screaming bloody murder. Houston said to me, he said, Dad, would you and Mom come over and pray in that room? I said, sure, we'll come over. We walked into that room, and we began to pray. Quinn was there in the room. Brooke Haas, my wife, we were all there in the room, and we finished praying. My wife looked at me, and she said, do you sense anything? I said, no, I don't. I don't feel any awkward. I don't sense anything. And all of a sudden, God peeled the scales off of my eyes. And I looked up in the corner of that room and I saw this demonic spirit. And the power of God went over me like hot water. I looked up in the corner of that room and I said, you punk, you gotta get out of here in the name of Jesus. This is not where you belong. You are trespassing. Amen. And I command you in the name and in the authority of Christ to go. He was never troubled again. What I'm saying this morning is we have to take our authority in Christ if we're going to see the power of God activated in our life. If we're going to see the power of God activated in our life. Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. If Jesus did it, he's telling us you can do it too. You understand what I'm saying this morning? What kind of church did Jesus intend to leave on planet Earth? Did he intend to leave a church that was just trying to hold the fort? Did he just leave the church, amen, to be here intimidated by the enemy? Did he leave the church here to be struggling to overcome worldliness? Did he leave the church here to just struggle to stay alive? No! 1,000 times over, he made us a glorious church without spot and without blemish. He made us to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Not just the preacher, but every single one of us. Mark 16, verse 17 says, these signs shall follow the pastor. These signs shall follow the evangelist. These signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name you can cast out devils. In my name you'll speak with new tongues. In my name you can take up serpents. In my name, if you drink anything deadly, it'll not harm you. And in my name you'll lay hands. You, not me, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen, amen, amen. What I'm saying is when Peter and John walked up there that day, they realized who they were in Christ Jesus. And when they recognized the authority that they had in him, they were able to activate the power of God. Well, let me just tell you this morning, God's power is activated when his presence is there. God's power is activated when there is an expectancy. And God's power is always activated when we recognize kingdom authority. You are a child of the Most High God. God will answer your prayer
just as he would answer mine. You hear what I'm saying this morning? The fourth thing that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart, the power of God is activated when he receives the glory. Hello? The power of God is activated when he receives the glory. Open your Bible if you still have it, or maybe you're still there. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 8. We're going to read just a few scriptures here. Acts chapter 3, verse 8. And leaping, stood up and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising the Lord. And they knew it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I mean, they are great. The scripture says greatly wondering. That means they were blown away. They were like, wow, isn't this the guy that was out there and been out there for years? Well, what is he doing in here walking around and praising God? And when Peter saw it, verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered the people and he said, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Peter said, why are you looking at us like we are something? We didn't do anything. Wasn't our power. He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son, Jesus, whom you denied and delivered into the presence of Pilate and was determined to let him go. Look at verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. And in his name, through faith, he has made this man strong. Let me just tell you something. God will release his power when God gets the glory. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Now, I could stand here all afternoon. I'm not going to do that, but I could stand here all afternoon. And I could tell you testimonies of literally how under my wife and I's ministry, we've seen 3 raised from the dead. I could tell you stories of tumors disappearing and cancers being healed and heart disease being healed. And I always said, I didn't have anything to do with it. The Bible said that God used Balaam's donkey. If he can use a, help me, Jesus. If he can use a donkey, he can use an ass like me. You hear what I'm saying? It wasn't me. He just allowed me to be a part of it. He allowed me to be a part of his plan. Well, I just want you to understand this morning, amen, there are no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. If anything ever gets accomplished, it will not be by our might. It will not be by our power, but it'll only be by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He said, I am a jealous God and I will not share my glory with anybody. Being used and being able to activate the power of God is not about how much you can trust God, but it's about how much God can trust you. You hear what I'm saying this morning? It's not about how much you can trust God. It's about how much God can trust you.
He uses miraculous things to do one thing: edify the body and glorify Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you need the power of God activated in your life, maybe you have a spiritual need, maybe you have an emotional need, maybe you have a physical need, maybe you have a financial need, maybe you have a situation that you need God to work out, you need God to intervene, I got good news for you today. With God, nothing is impossible, and with God, all things are possible. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord, but you will only be able to activate His power because of His presence. You'll only be able to activate His power with an expectant heart. You'll only be able this morning, amen, to activate, amen, by taking your kingdom authority, and you'll only be able to activate by giving glory and honor to whom honor is due. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, please. I feel the Holy Spirit in this house. Some of you came this morning with needs. Some of you came this morning with needs in your life. The switch is right there. All you have to do, all I have to do, is activate. Flip the switch. The switch is flipped. The power flows when He is present. When we don't have a que sera kind of attitude. When we have an expecting heart. I'm bringing my need to Jesus. I'm bringing my situation to the Lord. I may not be able to influence my situation, but I know a God who can. I may not be able to heal this affliction in my body, but I know a God who can. You hear what I'm saying today? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same one that healed this man at Gate Beautiful. He's here this morning to meet your need. He's here this morning to meet your need. You don't have to leave like you came. You don't have to leave like you came. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in the mighty and glorious, in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, this morning we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth of Your word. Lord, right now we take our kingdom authority. In Your presence with a heart of expectation, for no other purpose but to give You the glory, I ask You to manifest the miraculous. Set men and women free here today. Heal broken bodies here today. That Jesus Christ may be glorified. That His name will be honored among us. And we will fail not to give You the glory for it. We'll fail not to give You the praise. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you have a need in your life, whether it is a physical need, a financial need, a spiritual need, whatever it may be, if you have a need in your life, I want you to just stand to your feet and come and stand right here in front of the house of God.
This is what the Bible said in Acts chapter 19. The Bible said that God did special miracles by the hand of Paul. And out from his body were sent aprons and handkerchiefs. And those that received them were healed. I want those of you right now this morning that'll believe with me that God will touch Steve Mills. We're going to pray over this prayer cloth. And we're going to watch God do a miracle in his life. You believe it? I said, you believe it? Ilabo shatora bababa hakata. Amen. If you believe it, lift your hand this way and let's pray.